This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Whose idea was it for us to come up to the snow?
It's beautiful here, you have to admit this.
It's beautiful, but Jamaica's beautiful and warm.
That makes perfect sense to me.
When four married couples head to the mountains...
Every single year, we take a 7-day vacation...
Is this?
I'm Trina. Where is Sheila?
Oh, I made her drive. We flew.
You did what? Mike, are you hearing what you're saying right now?
Secrets will be revealed.
Whoa. How you gonna admire him when you got your situation?
Whoa. Situation?
Trust will be tested.
I'm not the only married person with a secret at this table. Checkmate.
And hearts will be broken.
Diane, when you get married, you give up the eyes for us, okay?
And before all is said and done...
You belong in the kitchen.
And you belong on a corner. Need a pen?
Why is your wife so eerie?
The secret to a good marriage just might be discovered.
I need you and I love you. Just come home.
Lionsgate and Tyler Perry invite you to the movie event of the year.
Lord, I don't know what this is all about. But I am going up this mountain to save my marriage.
Learn to love.
I'll be there for you.
Laugh.
I like the argument because making up is insane.
And I'll drink to that.
And cherish all over again.
Love.
Denise Boutte, Richard T. Jones, Sharon Leal, Lamon Rucker, Jill Scott, Tasha Smith, Michael Jai White, Malik Yoba, Janet Jackson, and Tyler Perry.
I think we did all right.
In Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married? Because at some point, everyone asks,
why did I get married?
Written and directed by Tyler Perry.
I forget how to start them.
I just was talking over you and I loved it. Wow, we've nailed this. We're so many episodes in.
Thriving.
We have a rhythm.
We figured out Zoom. Well, you guys, this is newcomers. This is our fourth episode of our third season. We're working our way through Tyler Perry's body of work for the first time with the help of Perry scholars, superfans, and sometimes people who've contributed. This season is only going to be 10 episodes because 20 was trying to kill us.
But you know, people want more of this already.
I mean, maybe we will do more. That
I know.
Clip I sent you yesterday from, I think it's the Oval Office.
You sent me this clip. Yeah, I don't know what show it was.
I'm pretty sure it's Oval Office, which is Tyler Perry's White House drama.
I didn't even realize this was happening. This clip is the sickest thing I've ever seen in my life. I hesitate to even retweet it because it's vile. It's literally a young man masturbating in front of a woman. And then he's like, she acts like it's fine, even though she's like a businesswoman and he's like some disturbed teen or something.
Yeah, he's like, I need you here.
And then she's like, I have to leave if you're going to do that. And then he ejaculates. And then he throws it at her. And then wipes it in his notebook with his palm, like...
Yeah,
it was the sickest thing I've ever seen.
Nuts. And out of, like, even in context, I'm like, what could this possibly be about?
And why was it happening? And why was she like, I'll sit here. That doesn't bother me. I was like, it should. Like, he's like, do you hate this? And she's like, I don't mind it. I wish you wouldn't do it. And I'm like,
yeah. She was very calm the whole time. And I would have been screaming, you can't throw cum at me. That's the rudest thing.
He had a pillow on his lap, and I knew it was going sideways. I mean, it's not good. It was really sick. But that's all that being said, everything Tyler Perry does goes away you don't expect. I mean, I think constantly. I never would have even thought he would go into that territory.
Me either.
You know, because you can't limit him.
But then I'm like, is he going to go to church later? And then the pastor's like, you can't throw cum at the people. Like,
yeah, I do think that, like, oh, you mean the character? Because yes. I was going to say Tyler Perry going to church, because I think somebody was like, Tyler Perry's going to hell with this clip.
Yes, that's what the clip was titled. Like, reason 5,000 as to why Tyler Perry is not going to see heaven, which is just so funny.
I just love it. But it's he also is like, yeah, his stuff is so moral at the end. That it's like, I think ultimately he'll be fine. today we're discussing the Tyler Perry marriage dramedy, Why Did I Get Married, which came out in 2007, and we're going to be revisiting more movies and TV shows in the weeks to come. Maybe we'll get to some Oval Office stuff. I don't know. If you want to watch this movie, you can get it on DVD or a small fee on Amazon, Apple TV, and Vudu. So obviously we're going to spoil the film. So if you want to watch it, watch it. But I'm so excited because we have two of my favorite people on today, Lauren Ashley Smith and Mariah Smith. Now, Lauren is a comedian, producer, and the head writer of HBO's A Black Lady Sketch Show, which returns for a second season later this month. I'm so excited.
Me too.
And Mariah is a comedian, writer, producer, and host of the podcast Spectacle, an unscripted history of reality TV, which I highly recommend. I loved every episode.
I was on an episode with Marcy.
You were, and it was so great.
I think I definitely was.
I think.
Ooh,
I was.
She's crushing
it today.
You
have a lot going on, Nicole. Okay, and together with their sister Rachel, Lauren and Mariah also host the popular show Smith Sisters Live on SiriusXM's Radio Andy, which is so good. They cover everything pop culture that you need to know. It really will keep you in the know. Welcome, Lauren and Mariah. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Oh my God, I'm so excited you're here. I have to say again, Mariah, I've told you like 100 times, but I love Spectacle so much. It's so good.
Thank you so much. It's a journey and it's so fun.
It's so
what
good.
What do you mean by journey?
I know.
It's a journey and it's so fun.
That made it sound like I absolutely hated it.
Yes.
Well,
no,
I
love it.
TV
it's a journey
fan.
Through reality TV.
Yeah.
It's a journey through reality TV. That's the journey.
Each episode kind of breaks down a show that was pivotal for reality TV and explains like how we got to where we are now. And it's very informative and fun. And I just really enjoyed it. The season's done now. Oh, no, you have one more episode, I think, coming out, right?
Yes, one more.
What's your favorite reality show?
Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, okay.
I don't watch that.
Yes.
I don't watch
it's
that
so
either.
Good. It has such rich personal histories between the cast members that it makes it no matter where they, whatever wealth or status they reach, they'll always be 20 somethings at heart who hate one another. It's great.
Yeah. And it's like a turning point in reality TV, the early episodes, the early seasons, because they're hot like reality stars are now, but they don't understand the implication of doing all this on television. So it's like a beautiful time capsule. It's a great show.
Oh, that's interesting.
Is everyone caught up on Housewives? Jen Shaw? She's probably going to jail.
Going to jail in her box braids. At least she has a protective style.
Wait,
so
she has box braids right now?
Yes. Her Instagram story, the last Instagram story she posted before the news broke was her modeling her new box braids. I personally want to find out where she is being held and put a scarf on her book so that her braids do not get fuzzy while she is in captivity. And so someone can let me know where she is. I would be happy to contribute.
Oh my
God. I just saw that her chalet is also part of the scam.
What? How?
I just saw a headline. I just saw a headline. I didn't get to read it, but I just saw it right before we started. That she,
I mean,
it's all got to be fake. So just to catch people up, this is from Salt Lake City, Real Housewives. And Jen Shah is like this extremely wealthy.
Who can't explain her companies
at all. You never understand how she's so rich. And I mean, it's very confusing. Turns out she's been running like a full-on telemarketing scam where like they call people and say like, you owe us money, like call us
back. I heard a voicemail, I think Casey Wilson reposted it, an alleged voicemail of Jen calling someone saying, you owe us, it sounds like a telemarketer. And she's like, your ID number 27770 owes us, da 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 da. It's wild, wild.
And she had like, they've been doing it for 9 years.
For, yes.
Like, it's a full-on scam for very involved. Wow. And so she, and all her money is fake. So it's like, I mean, or, you know, gotten through
and
this.
The crazy part is that for a housewife, Jen is one of the ones that is the most like, I'm this rich. Like, she, all of her scenes revolve around spending money and how rich she is.
And she's like, five assistants.
Yes, yes, exactly. And it's like, one of her assistants also was arrested. And it's like, if you're, if you know you're making this money through a scam, maybe don't go on a shopping spree every episode with your scam money.
Completely.
I agree. I
or don't be on a show. Like, right. I would say under the radar.
Yeah. That's the craziest part. Like, when people do bad things and then go on a reality show thinking that, like, people aren't going to dig up this shit.
No, it's so insane. It's so insane. Okay, well, we got to talk about Tyler Perry. This is why we're here. I mean, we can talk about Jen Shah all day long, and I'd really be happy to. But, okay, so I know Lauren is more familiar with Tyler Perry than Mariah. Is that true?
Yeah, I have the honor of having sat in the audience of at least two Tyler Perry stage plays. And they're not called plays or musicals. They're called a stage play. My aunt took me when we were children. So I saw live Tyler Perry plays.
And was Madea in them?
Madea was not in those, I don't
really
think. They were side adjacent, Madea adjacent. Oh. But yeah, and Why Did I Get Married, I think, was the first Tyler Perry movie I actually went to see in theaters. And that was like my entry point.
Wow.
What was it like to watch this in the theater? Because we'll get to this dinner scene.
Oh my God.
During watching in the theater, what were people's reactions to that
screaming?
Scene?
I mean, this is like
screaming like it was a Marvel movie. When Tasha Smith goes boom, people went,
that boom gets you where it hurts. I love it.
Yes. Boy. I think I have to, the next one that comes out, I have to go see it in the theater.
No, I have to be there. I can't keep doing this by myself. I'm screaming on my couch. I'm
Lauren,
literally
like, so was I. I was going, what? No. Oh, ah. And then when she smashed with the bottle, again, we'll get more into it.
Oh, yes.
Smashed with the bottle. Yes. I went, no one's going to get up. Not one person
No one gets up. Reacted at all. And
at
then
all.
Someone said, I hope he's dead. And
yes.
then he laid there and they all just were like, anyway.
I'm like,
this is insane. This is the best movie I've ever seen.
My God, it's so funny.
And so, Mariah, what's your level of knowledge with Tyler Perry?
See, here's the thing. Growing up, as we did with family members who went to see Tyler Perry stage plays, he was always in the realm of my being. But what Lauren failed to mention is I was so mad that I couldn't go to a Tyler Perry stage play. I was like 9 years old. I put juice in a wine glass, and to spite my family, I bit the wine glass and swallowed the glass and had to go to the hospital.
What so is wrong with you?
I was so traumatized that I couldn't go see the stage play. I made my own drama.
Wait, you have to walk
us? I love that Lauren's just nodding her head at that wild story.
We, in fact, left at intermission to go to the ER because we like got like a page or a text.
You are so annoying, Mariah. You had to take you had to take away Lauren's good time.
Yeah.
So please walk me through the logic of because I don't know how we got to you biting the glass.
Yeah.
You put
I was
juice
drinking
in
juice
the glass.
And I was so furious that they left me at home. I said, I'm going to show them. And I bit the glass and I didn't realize I would swallow the glass. I thought I was just damaging something in the home.
You're like a dog eating an ornament. Like
exactly.
You're
the child was acting out.
And I ended up in the hospital.
Were you okay?
I ended up being okay, yes.
Did you have, like, internal cuts?
Yeah, they retrieved the glass.
How'd they get it
wait,
out?
How?
They took...
It was endoscopic.
Endoscopic. Yeah. Had to take a camera and, like, take it out of me
through my mouth. Ouch. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
When I left intermission and I came to the hospital and that little child was sitting there in a hospital gown, sitting in that little pediatric size hospital bed, I said, I know this bitch did not.
So that's my relationship to Tyler Perry.
Okay, so.
Wait, Lauren, how old were you? So you, Mariah, like, you were 9. Lauren, you were...
11? Maybe. Oh,
That ruins Mariah's timeline.
You were not 9. I was younger. Like 11 and you were like 4.
6.
Yeah, something around there. Because I wasn't older than 12.
Yeah, that's I just had to get that straight because Mariah likes to say that she's 21.
Correct.
Okay, calm down now. Calm down. Let's not get on the age unless you want me to start shooting shots, okay?
I love that you like to say that you're 21. I like to say that I'm 47 because then people are like, oh my God, you look so good. And I'm like, yeah. I know.
That's a good one. I gotta change that.
Yeah, and then you switch and go that way right. And everyone thinks you look amazing. Yeah, that's good.
Should we jump into our news media?
Yeah.
News media.
And we have to explain it every time.
Tyler Perry sets a jazz man blues. What does that mean? A jazz man's blues. Oh, that's the name of the movie.
Oh, no.
So Tyler Perry sets a jazz man's blues as next film at Netflix. Perry originally penned the film 26 years ago.
26 years ago.
That's a long ass time. He's been working for so long. It's the first screenplay he ever wrote. I wonder if there's been edits. Uh-oh. And he's been trying to make it for over 2 decades.
Why is he trying? Can't he do anything he wants?
Maybe this is like a big budget. Maybe this is like a grand to do.
Oh, it is. Look, it takes place over 50 years.
Yeah, set from 1937 to 1987. The story follows an investigation into an unsolved murder, unveiling a story full of forbidden love, deceit, and a secret that's been held for 40 years. The film will shoot primarily at Tyler Perry Studios. It'll be released on Netflix later this year.
Wow. Okay.
I mean...
That's amazing. I do feel like it is interesting that he had to sit on this for this long, considering he has a show where a child masturbates in front of some lady in the Oval Office.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Let's make it all. I mean, it's all happening. But he is prolific. I mean, this makes you wonder, like, he must have a room or, you know, a floppy disk full of 5 billion scripts
100%. That
just are just waiting.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think he does, because I remember he was on a late night show and he said that it takes him like 2 or 3 days to write a script. And I'm like, that's problematic to me. Yeah. It goes to show what you're putting in. So I think that he just, when the idea comes, it pops in his head. He puts it on paper and he'll make the movie within like a couple of months. Like, what's this movie set over a span of 50 years will be out later this year? That doesn't make no sense.
I mean, yeah, that's wild. I wonder when they're going to start shooting.
Well, that's the thing, because now we did cover that he has a whole quarantine setup where he's
like a compound.
Cranking out. Yes, he's cranking out content. And so, I mean, I can imagine that he just is like, you know, using one of his army bases, because somebody tweeted us that is an army base, like the place that he bought.
Yes, it's an old Jesus army base. Christ.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that.
Because we were like wondering, because it looked like all those army.
Like barracks.
Yeah. We didn't understand why he built it like that, but he didn't.
He didn't.
I wonder if eventually Tyler Perry will like incorporate his studio into becoming a town, and then he'll be like mayor of Perryville.
Yes,
don't give him any ideas now.
And then
don't take that back.
I think that it seems so close to happening.
He could do a sitcom called The Mayor, and it'll be just like the one with Ted Danson, except Tyler Perry, and it's real.
I have to say, and I texted you this, Nicole, but when I was watching this yesterday, this movie, I started like, I felt like a burst of joy and like laughter when he came on screen. Like there was something about like, now that we're watching all these movies and seeing how he casts himself, and there's a range, but like a lot of times he's just playing like a a handsome husband.
Yes.
And there's something about it that like makes me like giggle. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know. He's like a pediatrician in this one. Uh-huh. And then he also, I also was like cackling after, I guess it was when he got hit with the guy got hit with the wine glass or bottle. Uh-huh. And then Tyler's like, I'll get my doctor bag. And I was like, why did you bring your pediatrician doctor bag with you to this,
like, all adult trip? He also said something that killed me. So there was a cop at dinner because, Sheila brings the cop with her and they start fighting. And he's like, maybe I should go. And Tyler Perry goes, no. We gonna need some law enforcement. And I was like, way to like foreshadow what's gonna happen. But then nothing in my wildest dreams could prepare me for what was gonna happen.
Oh my God, that line is iconic.
We're gonna need law enforcement.
Every single person having an insane secret was my favorite thing. I was
my God,
this is what everything should be like. I want everything to be this fun.
I feel like there's an iconic dinner scene in the most recent season of Succession that now watching Why Did I Get Married back, I was like, that scene in Why Did I Get Married walked so Succession could run. And that is beautiful.
It's true. Not enough things get like wild like that where it's like, oh, you think it's weird that I'm cheating on my wife? Well, how about the fact that you, and then she's like, then he goes, you have VD. And then he's like, the woman's like, you have VD? Who'd you get it from? Whatever. And then he's like, yeah. And she's like, no, you got it from Walter or whatever. And he's like, I'm not gay. And she's like, I slept with Walter. And then it's like, wait, what? Like, it was just like,
and then so when many he things. Leaps to choke her and is like, you're evil.
When he chokes her. When he chokes her.
And fully chokes her out.
Well, we've been talking about this because he has this way, Tyler Perry has this way of like making characters so mean that you're like, I don't care what happens to them. Like, especially in like Diary of a Mad Black Woman, when like the guy is like so evil that you're like, you know, whatever. He's just a horrible person. He might as well rot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie, like there's a couple characters who are just so harsh that, but you still, he doesn't go as far in this one. You still are supposed to like them.
Are you serious?
Well, except for Mike. Mike goes pretty far.
But Mike is horrible. He's horrible, but he's still in the group. Like at the end of the movie, he's like talking to her and she's still kind of like, I don't care about you and you're a bad person. But like he like even touched her arm at the end. Like, I don't know if you saw it. I think it was kind of like not supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like milling about and to like start dancing. And then he like touches her arm, like the woman that he was married to, who he was so mean to, which was... If you go back to that first scene, I didn't even understand that they were married because I was like, why is he saying this?
Mean to her.
He's on the plane with another woman sitting behind his wife. His wife gets kicked off the plane for being overweight. And he is like, just go, just drive. I'm like, why do you hate her?
Here's gas money. And then he called her a fat ass and she could definitely hear it.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And then the other woman was like, stop or whatever. And I'm like, who is
and
this?
And then when
what's
she was
happening?
Like, the other woman's like, I'll get off the plane. He's like, no. And then I'm uncomfortable. And this white lady, I was like, oh no.
Oh,
geez. And I care like, more about this white lady than your wife.
How could the wife not know he's cheating with that other woman that he's sitting with at that point? I'm like, they're acting like a couple and they hate you.
Right. Yeah.
Like it's not going well.
Yeah. I took issue with that. Cause like,
that was crazy.
As a fat lady, I was like, we're not all that sad and fat.
It was really over the top. Like,
It was cartoonish.
And the fact that they had to have, I was looking it up. Jill Scott was in a fat suit.
Yes.
She said she gained 30 pounds for the role additionally. Cause she said if her head didn't match the fat suit, it wouldn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was
that's
just like,
what would make it not make sense.
That's where the wheels would fall off. Like, got it. And so I'm just like, this is such a horrible portrayal. And then the scene when she comes in the lingerie and he fades and he's still laughing.
And he's still
at
laughing.
Her.
It's heartbreaking.
Oh my God.
But that was one of those things where I was like, are we gonna get a point where he gets like, you know, thrown over a cliff or something? Because I feel like in the other movies, when someone's being that evil, they have some sort of moment where it's like they're being punished.
No,
but he felt like he got to still have that lady. And
the only way he was punished was he married Trina. She don't cook. She don't clean. And she doesn't do his laundry. And he's like, what do I do?
Yeah, like that's
the only way.
I really fucked up.
That's so stupid.
Ugh, Also, Tasha Smith, I have not seen her in anything really.
She's
other
a
than,
national treasure.
She's really
she's
good.
She's beautiful. And she's a twin. She's an identical twin. Yeah.
Oh, she does.
Yeah. Is her twin also an actress?
Her sister is named Sidra Smith. She's a model. She has, I think the last I saw her, she has a shaved head and is stunning. Oh. Like, they're so, and Tasha Smith also runs an acting program. Like, she is just truly iconic, incredible.
Well, she's so funny. Yeah.
She ran has away the range. With the movie. Yes, she did.
I want to see her do something more nuanced, where she gets to like really play with levels as opposed to extremes, because she is so funny and then so like vicious. Yes. And then she's in a ton of Tyler Perry stuff. I've really enjoyed her.
Speaking of Tasha, because there was one thing that struck me when I first saw the movie and then when I rewatched it again, is that Tasha Smith is supposed to be, she's like a hair guru basically. Mm-hmm. And in the scene where her husband doesn't want to have sex with her because he has BD, as they say later, and she just lays her head on the cotton pillow without a scarf, as do all the other women in the movie.
All of the women.
That, I wanted to put my foot through the television because I was like, this is completely unrealistic. Uh-huh. There is no way that this woman who has a hair empire is laying that her beautiful blowout and or expensive extensions on a cotton quilt.
So how do you think they get away with that? I mean, because don't you think someone would say like, well, why would I lay down like this?
Honestly, I think they are making these movies so quickly that it's like if you ask a question, you lose half a day. And they're like, we don't know. We got to keep going.
I like that theory. I thought she was so hilarious, though. And I wondered if she was improvising sometimes because she had some lines that were so great. And like even that there was that point where like I can't remember what they were talking about, but they were like, we should be nice and not be judgmental. And she was like, no.
She said something that I was like, this was improvised. She was like, suck my butt or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, she had some lines that were so.
And I was like, that couldn't have been scripted.
Yeah. In one scene, she says, okay, America's top next something to the woman in her chair. And she flipped next top. And I was like, that was an improvised line.
That's exactly the same thing. I was like, around. If we could have gone back and done it again. But there's
but
no time.
No, you can't.
Nope.
One
no
take.
Time.
One take.
All right. Well, I think we should take a break and come back and get really deep into the plot of this movie.
Do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30 and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, H-E-L-P.com/newcomers.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back! Ooh, we did it at the same time.
How cute. Okay, let's read this plot a bit and we will just walk through this movie because there is so much that happens.
So much.
Even just the beginning, I don't even know if it's covered right here, but so, okay, 8 married college friends travel to Colorado for their annual week-long reunion.
Yeah.
So we need to set up how that happens. Because Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackson is a narrator who's not narrating. She is some sort of professor of love. And has written a book about her friends. Her students are asking her intimate questions about her friends. But then she's like, I don't talk about those things. And it's like, you wrote a whole book about it, man.
With their names.
Yes, their actual names.
And intimate problems.
And we get a bit of a glimpse that she has some sort of tragic thing that's happened in her marriage that is not to be talked about. And sorry for your loss, we hear, but how is your marriage? And then her husband shows up and he's like, time to go. And then she's like, that's how my marriage is. And it's like,
yeah, that was so wild. How is your marriage? Well, he's right there. You can ask him.
And then he's like, we have to go. And then she's like, see? I was like, that wasn't a good example, ma'am. Okay, so they're joined by Trina, a single woman who's friends with Sheila, one of the married women. Now that's the woman who is having, we find out later, is having an affair with Mike?
Mike. Yes, Mike.
And it's so obvious.
It's very, very obvious. So Diane and Terry drive and argue most of the way because Diane refuses to stop working. This fight is nuts.
So that's Tyler Perry. He named himself Terry just because he wanted to mush it together.
Yeah, Tyler Perry, Terry. Yeah.
Terry.
he was like, I can't remember another name. Just call me Terry. But he was just like fighting with her in a way that like was so vicious. And he's like, did he talk about sex then? Or is that later when he's like, we don't have sex. I want children.
Later.
Oh, okay.
It was later.
So Angela and Marcus argue throughout their train ride. And this is funny.
Oh, that's funny.
Man.
Tasha Smith, she is just, I can't remember what the two gay men behind her say that made me laugh so hard.
Oh my God.
It's about their dog, Fifi.
Their dog, Fifi.
She's trying to take a nap.
Yes. Yeah. And then her husband's like, oh, don't mind her. She's drunk. And then they're like, probably a 40. They're like,
that was
insane.
Evil white people. Cartoonishly racist.
Yes.
It sucked because I was like, the only way I'll get in this one of these movies is if I'm like a fucking racist bitch in the movie who's like, kick this person off the plane. What are you drinking, a 40? Like, it's like, you can't, like, there's no role where I could really shine. And I don't know about this.
Oh my God. So Sheila and Mike travel separately after Sheila deplanes because of a 2-seat requirement. Also, when she walks off the plane and her hips are hitting the seats, I was like, oh boy. She drives in the snow with no GPS while Mike continues on the flight and flirts with Trina. The fourth couple, Patricia and Gavin, arrive by limo after Gavin picks up Patricia at a lecture she is giving. Patricia's the author of a book called Why Did I Get Married?
Also, I just want to say that anytime I see a scene on a plane, it's usually the plane looks like it has so much more space than any plane actually does. Like, you're like, how? No one has this much room. They made that plane so tiny to really make this point. And it's so, it is a truly vicious scene, and it's totally insane. The man who's sitting next to her, like, is just, like, upset for 1 millisecond that, like, she's a little bit touching him. I will tell you this,
though. As a fat lady, you do not wiggle around. She, like, sat down and, like, was like, I'm making space for me.
No, you pop down and you don't move.
You get really tiny. So you don't have to buy the second seat.
She got into the middle seat without him getting up. And I'm like, no one in the right mind gets the dimensions into the middle seat of a plane without the aisle member getting up.
Yeah, and that would have helped that more, I think, if he had to get up. But, I mean, I don't know. It was a very mean scene, and everyone was really ridiculous, and it was just like, this is absurd. So, let's see. Diane falls asleep not long after arriving. Her secretary calls while she's asleep, and Terry tells her not to call during their vacation.
Which is wild. You can't do that.
She has
such
a
boundary cross.
And he was so rude on the phone to Monica. He said, I know, but this is me telling you, click.
Said,
no.
The way men assert their authority in this movie, even in the small things, like when they get the keys to the house and the sheriff purposely hands the keys to Tyler Perry and not the wife. It's like always about what the man says and what the man, even the women making their plates in the breakfast scene. Ugh. It's just too much.
I also felt like the sheriff made a big point about how it was going to storm and they were going to be like trapped or something. And then that really wasn't a problem at all.
Any
like,
part of the story.
It was nothing.
They went
even
shopping.
Sheila getting to. Okay. Okay. So Patricia, Gavin, Angela, and Marcus all arrive subsequently, still fighting with one another. And when Mike arrives without Sheila, Diane, Patricia, and Angela berate him and Trina. They try to reach Sheila, but get her voicemail.
I gotta say, nobody makes a big enough a deal about this man showing up without his wife and with another woman. I'd be like, you can't come in the house until you fully explain why your wife is traveling separately. And who is she? Who is she?
And that you made her get off the plane.
And he's shocked when people ask about her. Yes, he's shocked. He's like, oh, this is Trina. There was an extra room.
So Sheila runs into bad weather and is helped by Troy, the local sheriff who works alone. She spends the night at his office. With Sheila absent, Mike sneaks into Trina's room in the middle of the night like a cartoon. The next day,
it's so obvious.
It's like... Sheila arrives with Troy. Everyone eats breakfast together and Troy stays.
Later, the men gather to discuss the 80-20 rule, which states that men get 80% of what they need from marriage, yet they tend to go after the 20% that someone outside can provide, although it's almost never true. During a heated argument with Angela, Mike reveals several secrets the couples have been hiding. So this is the big scene. I mean, and we're talking an hour 30 in at this point. So much has happened. Mike contracted an STD after he cheated on Angela. Diane had a hysterectomy after her daughter was born. No, they said it was had her tubes tied. I don't think it should
be. Tubes tied,
Was born and kept it a secret from Terry. And Gavin blamed Patricia for not protecting their young son in a car accident that killed him a year prior, which is like... devastating and so over the top.
Yeah.
And Mike cheated on Sheila with Trina, which obviously is the least of it at that point.
Yes.
But it sets off the craziest stuff. I mean, that scene is truly iconic. I feel like I loved it. It's so amazing. It starts out, and I was thinking how fun it must have been to make, like, to shoot that scene. Because there's, like, these reveals happening and, like, people getting crazier and crazier to the point. And I know at some point I'm going to hit him with a wine bottle. That's exciting.
Oh, boy.
It's so, even the way that they sat Richard T. Jones and Tasha Smith at like diagonal corners of the table because they were the two kind of driving the conversation. And it really blows my mind that Mike thought that like, okay, well, I've been outed as a cheater on this trip at which I brought my mistress is a secret on the level of your husband thinks you it's your fault that you killed your child. Like, that's an equivalent reveal.
He goes so hard against everyone else because he's so mad that it got revealed that he's cheating, even though it's the most obvious thing ever. And you're like, you can't call out that they have problems because their son died. Like, that's right. You are horrible. That's why I thought he was going to get like killed or something. I mean, truly. And then finding out about the accident, and then Janet Jackson's like having her whole like meltdown because she thinks she's a horrible person.
Wait, what did Janet say? She was like, Mike, you got to stop. It's getting too dangerous. Everyone's like one-liners in this scene took me out. Like, I had to pause it after she said that, and I laughed for such a long time. It took me so long to get through this movie. I couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, my God.
Okay, after the revelations, Angela reveals that she's the one who gave Marcus the STD after she slept with somebody else. And his reaction, we said it earlier, but we gotta repeat it. His eyes get so big. And he chokes her.
He stands up to choke her.
Yes.
He gets up, like, putting his hands out, like, here we go. Like, it's fully.
It's so crazy. It's pure comedy.
It is. Also, before they get to the reveal, they're playing this jaunty music that makes you think it's going to be a nice, fun scene. And what a misdirect. What a misdirect. It's like, boom.
Truly so funny. Like, if you think about writing something, like, I'm just picturing Tyler Perry writing this, and I'm like, to let yourself just go, and then this happens, and then this happens, and this happens.
Right.
It seems so fun to write. Like, and then she says this, and then they choke each other, and then they gotta pull each other off. It's like, this is good.
I honestly, in my memory, when I watched it in theaters, I rewatched it the other day, and I was like, I remembered this as a straight up comedy. I had no recollection of it being that dramatic because in my memory, it made me laugh so much. And that is true, but it is not a comedy.
No, but it does make you laugh because it's so shocking. It's like, there's so many things that you're like, I cannot believe they're doing that. Even though it's like sad or like, you know, mean or whatever, it makes you laugh.
I'm
sure with like seeing it with an audience, it's like that also colors it because you're like, oh, everyone was laughing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's a comedy. So, okay. After the revelations, Angela reveals she's the one giving the STD. Okay, yeah. So Mike tells Sheila he wants a divorce and she smashes a wine bottle over his head. The couples decide they can't stay in the house any longer. Sheila checks into a local hotel. Troy visits her and takes her up to a mountain where she cries and mourns the loss of her love and the only life she knew. And Troy comforts her.
When Mike gets hit with the bottle, he sets his body up to be hit, but I had no idea it was coming. He's like, he stands up and then sits back down, like not finishes dinner to like lean over to Sheila and be like, you can have our vacation home. It's in a bad neighborhood. You're welcome.
Yeah. And he goes, I'll put bars on the windows.
Yes.
It's a bad neighborhood, but you could have it and you could have your car.
Like, hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
And then snaps at her.
Hello. I'm like, you are evil.
And then he said he wants the kids or something?
So
like, he was like,
rude.
I feel like that's what he said, but maybe that I misunderstood something. But I thought he was like, I want the boys. You can have that bad house.
But then instead of like getting up, he just turns his body and waits to get hit with a wine bottle.
He's like, ready?
Also, the precision with which Jill Scott, Sheila, a lay person who is not a street fighter or any kind of martial arts in any way, picks up the bottle and from the side and in her blind spot hits him across the head.
Yes.
I also just really wonder if a wine bottle would shatter that way.
That's what I think.
No.
Oh my God.
I think it would
absolutely
hurt a lot
not.
And not shatter.
It wouldn't.
I think so.
I don't even think it would hurt that much. I think that it would be like, it would be like, that was uncomfortable. And
you don't think it would hurt? Like a thick wine bottle?
I don't think
bottle?
It would hurt that much.
No, it would hurt.
I think if it shattered
the wine
like
bottle
that,
also looked empty.
Mariah.
So, yeah, if it was full, that's another story.
I am here to say on record, someone can hit me with a wine bottle on the back of my head and I will tell you if it hurts or not, because I am convinced it's not that painful. Girl. And it would not knock me out on the floor like it did that man.
Well, that's the thing. He like basically dies. He falls, he gets hit with his sugar glass, which or whatever, and then he falls to the ground and he is gone. Like he is dead. And like, he's not dead, but he passes out and someone's like, I hope he's dead. And they do not react at all. Everyone sitting at the table acts like that happens every day and like nothing matters. I just love that. And that's such a theme with Tyler Perry movies too, where it's like the craziest shit would go down and everyone's just like,
yep, anyway. That's our world. But also I'm like, were there other retreats like this? I wouldn't keep coming.
They don't do anything like a retreat. They had been there for 2 days and they did nothing to strengthen anyone's marriage.
Which is true, because Janet Jackson sets up at the beginning of the movie that the reason they go on the trips is that they go as couples and they ask the question, why did I get married? And they try to make sure that they keep their relationship strong. That does not come through at all.
None of that happened. At breakfast, Janet Jackson does say, don't press buttons. Don't make him mad. And that seems to be her only thing. It's like, don't make men mad.
But isn't that funny? She's like the expert and that's like her advice. It's like, this doesn't seem healthy.
Wait, they skip over the scene where the men are together. And that's when like the secrets are first revealed before they're revealed to the women. And
right.
It was like such a misogynist. It was men themed bad. It was bad men. Yeah.
And the man is, which one is accused of being gay because he doesn't cheat on his wife?
That's Janet Jackson's husband. Yes,
Janet Jackson's husband. So crazy. And I was like, that's such a leap.
Yeah. Not to mention they lost a child.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The scene at the beginning when they first get to the cabin and Tyler Perry's talking to the man who lost a child. And he's like that guy says to Tyler Perry, like, I thought you'd have a bunch of kids by now. And he's like, hey, I don't know. I really want to. I'd love to have a couple of kids. And he's like, I thought you'd have four, but oops. And I'm like, you're telling me that if that happened in real life, that wouldn't be the first thing on your mind about that person that they lost their child. Like, you're just going to make a comment like that. And then like mid-sentence be like,
all of the men's interactions are so toxic. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, okay, where are we in this thing?
So the couples head back home. Patricia breaks down emotionally and Gavin agrees to reconcile. This scene is intense. It's Janet Jackson like heaving and sobbing. And then she like palms his face and runs her hand down. And I was like, that's a choice. Marcus's ex-girlfriend and the father of his child, Keisha, shows up at Angela's salon. This is funny. After they start fighting, Marcus finally stands up for both women. After he doesn't come home for days, Angela realizes she's wrecking her life with constant arguing.
The scene with Janet Jackson and her husband, them finally facing that they lost his child, and he's like, look at the picture, look at the picture. And she's like,
oh God,
no. Do you want salmon or chicken or blah, blah? You know, just she's totally like, can't look at it. And then she breaks down and I was like, I was impressed by her acting. I thought it was good. And I thought
I was too, sorry. But I will say the Janet Jackson of it all jumped out in that scene because the lady had no idea how to cut the asparagus. That's all I could focus on.
That's what I was watching. I was going,
I couldn't handle it.
I honestly thought I was crazy. I was like, I eat it wrong?
Exactly. She was cutting it crazy. Maybe you do cut the tip off little by little so you know where to stop.
Cut asparagus in her life.
So she was taking the stalks of asparagus and going, chopped up with the part you're supposed to get rid of.
Yeah, chopping that
into little bits.
Wait, like she was going to eat? Supposed to get rid of
the
bottom. Just the bottom.
It's really hard, so you're supposed to get rid of it.
I see.
And I eat asparagus a lot, so I was also like, I think I maybe. What if she's going to put it in something? I don't know. I was like, am I crazy?
I was so like, what? Focused on that. I was like, that is a Jackson. I was like, that's someone who's been famous since they were seven because she's never cut vegetables before in her life.
It was so
focused
odd.
On him pushing that photo on her while she was holding that big old knife.
Yes,
And it was, also like,
I thought I forgot a stabbing in the movie. I'm like, she's about to stab him.
But then when she was crying, I was like, what's she thinking about, you know, the actor? Like, I was like, she has a lot to pull from.
Yes.
What I was thinking. I was just thinking, like, she has so many big life experiences that we all know about that are horrible that you're like, okay, you got a lot of, you got a well to pull from to add in this scene. This is good. I thought it was impressive, but, you know, Nicole didn't. Okay, so.
it was a choice. I just, the palming of his face and running her hand down really got me.
No. That was weird. I mean, and I think it was very intense for the man to be pushing that photo in front of her. I'm like,
yeah. Obviously. And he was crying by the end of the scene.
He was crying. He was good too. Yeah. And then she was saying like, she thought it was her fault. And I'm like, how have you not had this conversation yet? Like, this is weird. Like,
yeah. Well, maybe it's like they never went to therapy. It happened. She was too traumatized because she was like in the accident. So like he just was focused on getting her well. And then they just never talked about this dead baby.
Yeah. Oh, and then there was another thing that that was called out where like they said he had said to somebody else that it was her. He came to their house crying and saying it was her fault.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
And they told Janet that. I was like,
that is so
that's
cruel.
So mean.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with that. Okay. So here we have this one. Diane and Terry fight over a paternity test he had done on their daughter. Now, this is crazy, too. This is crazy. So, okay, after Diane forgets Terry's birthday, he moves out. Patricia meets... that's the last straw. Mm-hmm. Patricia meets up with Diane and Angela, and they make a list of the good and bad things their husbands have done, hoping to reconcile their marriages. But, okay, we got to talk about the paternity test.
It's nuts.
So they're in the car, and, like, basically they're leaving after having the big fight. This is when that happens, I think, where he's like, well, I had a paternity test done because I just wasn't sure if our child was mine. And she's like, oh, did you? Mm-hmm. And what did you find out? And he's like, oh, it's mine. And she was like, really? And then she like, gets on the phone or something.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she puts her headphones in. Yeah. And he's like,
yeah.
I see how it is. You can't hear me anymore. Like, I'm like, you just dropped the biggest bomb. And it seemed like she's trying to imply that it's not his kid. So it was just
to like make him angry.
That which is marriage, so awful.
They don't need to be together.
They don't
together.
Like each other.
No.
When he's like, I'm moving out, I was like, good. You hate each other. Yes. There is nothing there.
And when they were fighting.
But where it goes is crazy.
When they were fighting before he moved out, he was like, you need to be quiet and do not wake up my daughter. They go upstairs. He opens the door to make sure the kid is still sleeping, closes the door, and then continues to speak at the same volume.
Oh, God. And the baby, I'm sorry, looks like a corpse. The daughter laid in the bed, just face up in the squarely center in the bed. It's
uh-huh.
wild. Yes.
Oh, well, I love where their story goes. I don't know if we have to get into that once we get back down there. But okay, so what's next?
Sheila settles into a new life in the mountains. She gets a job at a general store. Troy's father. Yeah.
She's on the phone with all the women and they're like, where are you? And she's like, I got a job at a general store. And they're like, a general store? Like, because it's not even a thing. Like, you have to know she's in the mountains at that point.
Yeah. It also, I was like, so Sheila's just starting a new life. She don't call nobody.
Yeah.
She's what?
She has
no obligations back home.
It seemed like she didn't even get divorced. Like, she didn't deal with any of this stuff.
Yeah, nothing. She just stayed there. She starts building a relationship with Troy. There's a scene where the camera focuses on the least sexiest parts of this man.
Oh, my
like
God,
like, his shirt line.
I was wondering.
To, like, his chin.
His neck?
Yes.
What?
I was like, I am married to a woman, so maybe I've just been out of the game, and I don't know what is sexy about a man. But they were going to, like, his elbow, his under, like, little under his lip area where, like, a soul patch would be. Like,
his neck, like where his hair meets the neck or something. I was like, this isn't, like
what
hot.
Is that?
Like, where? How about some muscles? Like, what are we doing?
Anything.
And then she, even, like, after they zoom in on all this stuff, then they do kind of a comical thing on Jill Scott where she's like, oh, like, she can't believe how hot it is. And then she's like, do you work out every day? And I'm like, you could tell that from his neck? Like, I don't know, like, I felt like...
But then after she's like, you work out every day? He's like, yeah, you can go on a walk too. And she's like, me? walk somewhere? No, better eat cheesecakes.
I was like,
what is happening, like, Jill?
I can't run from here to the door.
What? I know.
And he's like, with some work, you could. It's, and then later when it's like revealed that they're together or whatever, and Mike is like, did she get a gastric bypass? And he's like, no, she worked out. And Mike is like, what?
I know, it's so rude. Well, and so then we have to talk about how when Tyler Perry and his wife get back together. So he's in his new house, which is like amazing. And he has the woman that the wife thought he was
his
cheating
nurse.
With his yeah. nurse. And she's in scrubs, just in case it's not clear.
Right.
And the wife comes in and she's like, I want to fix everything. And he's like, you do? Well, she's pregnant with twins. And then she's like, okay, we'll work through it, which I'm also like, it sounds like he's moving on. It doesn't sound like he'll work through it. And then he goes, just kidding. I was like,
I couldn't believe that. I was just like, wait, God. So this woman you keep bringing over, you are sleeping with her and she's got twins. And then Diane's just like, well, I'll deal with it. And I was like, oh, God, just
if
kidding.
If I'm the nurse, you're getting sued for sexual harassment ASAP. You're standing there talking about I knocked her up with twins to your wife. I mean, I'm in your house, so we've got questions there, but like, this is a lawsuit.
It totally is. And she just goes along with it. Like, I think I would scream out, like, no, I'm not. Like, it's like, you can't just, how does she know what he's doing?
And then he was like,
not
she's
just
got
say,
a boyfriend.
But scream out.
Well, because you'd be so shocked. And then, like, the wife is like, we'll work through that. And I'm like, it's too late. And then he says, they're kidding. And I'm like, do you know how long it would take me to come down from realizing that was a joke?
Right.
Like, I would be oh, okay. Like, I need to, like, process this. But she's just like, yay. And then they just hug and they're like, we're together. It's so funny. Okay, so later, all the couples reunited in an award gala where Patricia is being honored. And Diane, Patricia, and Angela are shocked when Sheila arrives and introduces Troy as her husband. I mean, I'm shocked too. The timeline
doesn't make
sense.
The timeline is so
because she didn't tell anybody.
No, it's been like because she's like my Janet Jackson told us that she had this event coming up like shortly. Like it wasn't like a long time. Mm-hmm.
I think she actually said, and it was very wedged in the conversation. She was like, "You guys have 8 months to get your tickets or something like that."
Oh my god!
When she's sitting on the husband's lap,
yes.
Why did she name that specific amount of time?
You're right.
And then.
Because that was when they first got to the cabin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was thinking, why 8 months? Because I thought, okay, someone's going to have a baby or like, I thought
That's
something would
thought.
Happen. Like, but no, it just was like, so that they could justify Sheila getting married in that time, I guess. Mike gets jealous, tries to reconcile once he sees Sheila with Troy, but Sheila tells him to enjoy his life with Trina. Patricia accepts her award and confesses her love for Gavin in her speech about love, respect, and trust. And that's
it. I mean,
and then they all dance.
What a outstanding movie. It
what
is.
What a film.
I loved it.
Twists and turns. And honestly, just that scene, that dinner scene should win some sort of award. I don't give awards for scenes, but it's perfect.
It's honestly so good. And it was like, there's so many twists and turns. And just like with every movie we've watched, I'm not bored at all during these movies. I'm like, I want to know what's going to happen. I'm very invested in all the characters. There's something shocking coming out of someone's mouth every 2 minutes. So if you look down or look away, you will miss something good.
Yep.
And it's solid.
So this was written by Tyler Perry, directed by Tyler Perry, released October 12th, 2007. Janet Jackson won an Outstanding Supporting Actress at the NAACP Image Awards.
Oh.
Also at the NAACP Image Awards, Tyler Perry was nominated for Outstanding Supporting Actor. Jill Scott was nominated for Outstanding Actress. Jill Scott was also nominated for Best Actress at the BET Awards.
Wow.
Whoa.
Now, critically, and this is the theme here, the film was not well received. It currently has a 48% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. But I would say it's decent. One critic from The Hollywood Reporter wrote, none of these flaws will matter much to Perry's devoted audiences, whose support has enabled him to virtually build a media empire.
Sounds like this person is bitter.
exactly. Virtually like, built.
Enabled.
They were like, you dumbasses have been down the road this far. What's going to change?
Oh, wow. Well, of course, and this is how it always goes. Audiences liked the film for the most part, giving it a 78% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. And the film's budget was $15 million, and it grossed $55.2 million at the box office. I mean, I do feel like these reviews are so irrelevant to these movies.
Yeah, they
like,
don't fucking 100%. Matter.
You cannot analyze these movies and compare them to anything. It's just people are having fun and they're liking it, and that's the answer. I think it's great. Yeah. Okay, so we have a little trivia about this movie. This is an adaptation of Tyler Perry's play of the same name, which debuted in 2004. So that must have been a fun one. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be a fun play.
It would be so much fun to see live, especially that I'll keep talking about it till the day scene. I die. That dinner scene. The characters Marcus, Angela, Patricia, and Gavin weren't part of the stage play.
Oh, so what? Ooh, there's only two couples?
That's a big chunk of the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense because at the end of the movie, Jill Scott has that big speech as if she's the main character of the movie.
Mm,
and now I understand that she must have been like the main character in the play. And that was a holdover from it.
Yeah, wow. So that makes sense.
This is Tyler Perry's first self-directed dramatic role.
Mm.
And a sequel was released on April 2nd, 2010, which
I'm
hope we
going
get to watch.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch whether we have to or not, I'm going to watch it.
I will.
Absolutely.
Perry also created a comedy drama television series based upon the two films titled Tyler Perry's For Better or Worse. Truly, it is like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like everything is intertwined. Mm-hmm. The series stars Michael Jai, I think I'm saying that right, White and Tasha Smith, okay, as Marcus and Angela. Okay, and it ran from 2011 to 2017 on TBS, seasons 1 and 2.
What?
And, on OWN for seasons 3 through 6. Wow.
Wait, whoa. That's like a huge run, and Tasha Smith had a whole show. This is like,
good.
Wow.
I hope she's getting paid. She's so good. Like,
she's
really like her.
I'm a
Me
fan.
Me too. I thought she was hilarious. That's amazing. See, this is crazy, though. Like, he has a spinoff for everything. There's a sequel. There's like 10 other shows. I mean, he is making 10 shows at once. I think we found out last week that he like has made 6 TV series in quarantine. Like he has released programs like fully.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how.
Oh, wow.
He's very, he's a talented man.
He moves very quickly.
Whoa. Also, I really, I think I said this like in another episode. I really love he mixes like stars with people that you just haven't heard of who are just as capable.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great point. That's such a great point. Because in what world, like, well, what's interesting is like, I can't imagine any other filmmaker giving Janet Jackson, who's a huge star, a starring role in a movie. Mm-hmm. But in a Tyler Perry movie, it works so well because you get Janet friggin' Jackson and these other black actors that you kind of know their faces, but you don't ever see them in like big blockbuster movies. And so it's a really cool mix.
I wonder if Jill Scott, because she starred in Ladies Detective Agency. I wonder if that was like an HBO series. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that came after this.
That's
number one
question.
Ladies Detective Agency.
I want to know about the conversation around her gaining 30 pounds to make her head look the same as the suit.
I just need to gain 30 pounds in my head. It's mostly going to be in my head.
I don't know how you control.
It's so wild.
That's so crazy.
It is crazy. That's a lot of weight to gain just for your head to match.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I'm not here for it. I wouldn't do it.
No.
It's a lot to ask of anyone.
Yeah. Would you do that, Lauren?
Me?
Would you? Yeah. Would you?
No.
Me? No.
No.
I don't think I would either. I'd be like, just tape some prosthetics to my chin.
But see, the problem is like when, and I mean, I think like there's like so many examples of people wearing fat suits or whatever, where it's like, this is so fucked up. Like, it's just like, it's like Gwyneth Paltrow in that movie, like Shallow.
Oh yeah.
There's just so many examples of it just being weird. And like, I mean, it doesn't seem good.
I gotta say, my favorite example is Tyra Banks on her talk show, puts on a bathsuit,
oh my
gets
God.
On a stage and goes, people were mean to me.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, that whole look, like she goes on the street and people are like looking at her. I'm like, you look crazy. You are clearly wearing prosthetics. Like, you
and
don't
being
look
followed by cameras.
Yeah,
like exactly. That's why they're looking.
People are going to look at you. Like, this is absurd. I want to see a picture of her actually in that.
She was like, people didn't treat me like the star Tyra Banks.
You
and
have
that
to
hurt my feeling.
Google this right now because it's so stupid. Oh my God.
Oh my Jesus.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, oh, Tyra. And then,
it's
yeah,
really
to
funny.
To come out like, oh, you learned something is like, just like, okay. Yeah.
Oh God.
Also, it's showing me a Real Housewife Melissa Gorga.
Gorga.
I don't, wait,
yes.
Why is she in that? Fat suit? Why is she in this? What
for
is
fun,
this?
I guess.
Oh boy.
And
people,
I'm sorry,
are
you're
ridiculous.
gonna get looked at. That looks like not a person.
Dr. Oz?
Oh my God.
There's a Dr. Oz one as well.
This is nuts.
Okay, yeah. Here's a Cosmopolitan article. Stop wearing fat suits to, quote, understand what it's like. Wait, this is crazy. And there's like a woman. Because wasn't there a TV show that did this?
Was there?
Or something. Oh. It was something weird. Because I don't know what this is from, this image. But that's so crazy.
This is so funny. Just the sheer amount of celebrities who've worn fat suits for no good reason.
It seems like it's always out of boredom.
Oh my God, wait, yeah. Do you remember this show? This just reminded me of the show Black White. I just Googled this. Do you remember
yes.
this?
Yes.
They would have two, okay, so it's, I'm looking at the Wikipedia now to remember this. It was on FX and it was two families of three, one white family and one black family. And they would use, quote, studio quality makeup and trade races and experience what life was like in the family's shoes. This is so insane.
It's so
wait a minute. It's
that's
wild.
So it's that's
wait.
I want to find photos of this, but of course
can
I bet you they're like scrubbed from the internet.
I want a season two so bad.
Yeah. Well, now I mean, can you imagine? Like this is so insane. So this wait. The show was produced and created by Ice Cube. I didn't realize that. And RJ Cutler. And it ran for 5 weeks.
Okay, the makeup is actually kind of impressive. Okay,
it's wait, very good. It's unavailable on Amazon. How do I get to watch this?
I need to watch it again now.
It's probably on YouTube, I bet.
Oh, here we go.
Ooh, okay. Yes.
Wow, the makeup is really good.
Isn't it?
I'm kind of shocked. I don't remember.
Yeah. This is nuts.
That's so crazy. Yeah, I want to rewatch that now. So that was from what, like over 10 years ago.
I can't believe it.
Crazy.
I love how we've just started Googling.
Oh yeah. The last 10 minutes are just the last Googling and describing what we see.
Oh my God. Well, I think we've come to the end since we're just Googling. Lauren,
even
Ryan,
though I'm having fun.
Do you guys have anything you'd like to plug?
Lauren? Watch A Black Lady Sketch Show season 2 premiere on April 23rd on HBO and HBO Max, and listen to us on Smith Sisters Live on Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Radio Andy, channel 102 on Sirius XM.
And listen to my podcast, Spectacle, an unscripted history of reality TV, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you both so much for being
yes,
here. This
thank
was so
you
fun.
So much.
Thank you for having us.
We have our five hallelujahs segment where we read five-star reviews.
It really makes me laugh.
Hallelujahs.
Hallelujahs. Okay, I know we're going to cover Madea Goes to Jail, but did you watch any of it?
Oh my God, wait, I watched the whole thing because we were supposed to record the other day.
So on my lunch break, I started it, and Madea, when she's at court and she's like, sorry, like she just puts a T after every, like just normal words.
Oh, I know.
It made me laugh so hard.
I find it hilarious. And that movie also, which we'll get into, is so ridiculous because she doesn't go to jail till like the last 10 minutes. I was like,
oh,
go
God.
To jail. Isn't that what this is called?
She eventually goes to jail. Should have been the title.
I thought all the comedy would be in jail, but we had to just see how she got there, which was like, really great. Okay, so this review comes from Mickey Loco, my favorite new podcast. I'm a huge Star Wars and Lord of the Rings fan, and this is the funniest thing I've ever heard. I binged both seasons. I was crying almost every episode. I grew up with the show, so it's hilarious hearing perspectives from someone who has never seen it. Oh, wait, I want to read this one too. This one's from Xtofer. If my calculations are correct, violently taps calculator. Let's see. I should be giving this podcast $64,283,974,005,020.82 stars. But Apple only lets me give five, so here you go. That's from Medea frantically typing on her calculator, which is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, it's so funny. So yeah, write us more reviews because we'll pick one to read, and we'll be back next week with another great episode of one of God's angels, Tyler Perry's works. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Was a HeadGum original.